We're looking at John chapter 2, and we're just going to read the first 12 verses. It says, on the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. And Jesus said to her, woman, what does that have to do with us? My hour has not yet come. His mother said to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. Now there were 6 stone water pots set there for the Jewish custom of purification, containing 20 or 30 gallons each. Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water. So they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, draw some out now and take it to the head waiter. So they took it to him. When the head waiter tasted the water, which had become wine, and did not know where it had come from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the head waiter called the bridegroom and said to him, every man serves the good wine first. When the people have drunk freely, then he serves the poorer wine. But you have kept the good wine until now. This beginning of his signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you so much for coming here and being with us even today. Lord, I pray that you would open up this story about you and open our hearts up to you and help us to see what this has to do with us. We ask that you would really meet the different needs that we have right now and just put our hearts at ease and help us to really just think about what you have for us right now. We ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Well, the story starts off with twice it says the mother of Jesus. In other words, it's a story of someone who has a generalization, you might say. But I think it's safe to say, like, a mother and her son is a pretty close relationship, whether it ends up being that way or not. I mean, it would tend to naturally go that way, that it's one of the closest relationships. So it's talking about the closeness of this relationship. And she and he and his disciples, they're at this wedding, and the wine runs out, and she sees it as a problem or as a need. And whether it actually is or wasn't, you can argue about why that was a need. It really doesn't matter whether it actually was a big deal or not. It's clear she saw it as a problem. And there wasn't really anything that she was going to do about it, at least nothing that we know of. But you can tell that she's, maybe you could say she's gotten used to asking Jesus to help out. In other words, he's gotten to the age now where maybe this is a generalization too and reading in, but I could see this being the case, that when something comes up where there's a problem, she's gotten used to being able to go to Jesus and just say, you need to fix this. There's no indication there that she had an expectation that there was going to be a miracle. We don't know if Jesus had done a miracle up to this point. It seems like this is the first one, but all we know is she sees that there's a problem. She has a relationship, close in the sense that Jesus is her son with Jesus. And she comes to Jesus with this need to address this problem. And that all seems pretty natural. But when it starts to get a little bit, you can tell something else is going on right away from Jesus' response. He responds to her. He doesn't say, Mom, why are you bugging me about this type of thing? He says, woman, what does this have to do with us? And you know, in our culture, that might be rude if he was taking it seriously. Or if I was to say it, my mom would know I was being sarcastic and just trying to poke fun of the situation. I don't think Jesus was being sarcastic. He wasn't being rude either, but he was saying something there. Because the story leading up to it is like, Jesus should be doing this for his mom. Because of the relationship that they have, mother to son, he should try and do something. And he takes it out of that and says, no, this, I am about to do something, but it doesn't have anything to do with this relationship between son and mother or any other relationship. And you know, a lot of times we come to God with this sense that, not that I'm the mother and God's the son or something like that, but that, you know, the thing that's there behind the scenes with the mother is like, I brought you in. Not that a mother's going to say this or whatever, but, you know, just go with the thought of it. And sorry for being rude about this too. It's like, I brought you into the world, you know, I've given you a roof, you know, those types of, I've kind of put, and so now it's come to the point as you're being older, like, you know, you should do, it's, there's a little bit of that in there, however you might say it in a very nice way, right? And sometimes we can come to God in that sense too, if not like the mother, but like, I've been, you know, pretty good. I've been, you know, because of something, you know, here, and so I kind of deserve to be heard out here or something. There's a sense of that. You get that feeling. And Jesus is right off the bat saying, well, whatever that is, that has nothing to do with what I'm about to do. And then he says something to her that's interesting. He says, my hour has not yet come. And it's not really clear to us. It probably wasn't clear to her, but it becomes clear as you read John what it is that he's talking about there. And you may say, well, why doesn't he just say it plainly? And that's because a lot of things, it doesn't matter if you say it plainly. It just takes a long time to understand it. So this is one of those things that it's not about saying it plainly. There's something else going on that's just going to take some time before you could understand what's being said, even if it was being said to you plainly. You know how that is. And so what it is that it comes as you look through John that he's pointing to is the hour that he's talking about is his hour or when he dies on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. And so that's something that, as it turns out, you can say, well, I understand Jesus needs to die on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. That, even if that's said to us plainly, that's not something that we, in our heart, can really just grab a hold of right away. That's something that you, the idea that we are facing death, and it's because we deserve death. It's not like just the natural course of things. It's something that's happening because justice is being fulfilled. That takes that's not something that can just be told to you, and then you're like, oh yeah, that's true. You know, that takes some time to grapple with that. And so he's beginning here at the beginning. And so what is he saying here? She's coming to him with this need. Here's this wedding, and they're running out of wine, and who knows what. Now it's going to be like maybe a little bit of a social dilemma. They're going to feel a little bit bad. They maybe want it, you know, people to have a good time. People aren't going to have a good time. Maybe it's going to like look bad on them. Whatever the deal is with that, he's saying, I'm going to help this out, but if you're asking for me to help, the need is much bigger than a bunch more wine at a wedding. In other words, that takes a long time for we come to Jesus sometimes, and we sometimes have enough or to at least take the shot out to just saying, look, I got this need, I got this problem, and not to diminish it, but it's like I need a little extra wine. You know, not to diminish anything about that right there, but what Jesus is saying, I get it, but you need a lot more than just a little bit of wine here. And that's what's happening when we come to Jesus for things. And that's not to diminish the stress that's involved in situations, especially things like a wedding where you just want people to come and enjoy it and you feel there's social pressure. There's all sorts of things happening with this. It's not to diminish any of that. But Jesus is saying the need goes, it runs a lot deeper than what you understand right now. And I'm going to address this. But what good does it do to give everybody at this party a little bit more wine when they walk out tomorrow and die because justice is weighing down? As a penalty, you know, you see what I'm saying? He's saying, help. I am going to help. But the help of giving a little bit of wine or addressing this request, it's really only helpful in the context of me addressing this bigger picture of this weight of sin that's on and answering this question of or this demand of justice of death. And so what he's saying is, at the very beginning, this is starting off with you coming to understand that you can come to me, and when you feel this sense, a real sense of need, but there's a growth from that point on where we start to understand that we really need a Savior that's more than just giving us a little more wine. We need a Savior that's going to save us from some weighty things. And we may not understand how we're connected to things that severe. And we may not ever understand. But Jesus isn't coming and he's not answering based on a relationship that we've developed and that we've done that. He's coming to address the problem of forgiveness of sins. And what's happening with the forgiveness of sins is it's really talking about restoring our relationship with God, of us being able to see how much God loves us, how much he cares for us, and that God, the fact that we're here, the fact that this is a problem, that there's wine, that only highlights the fact of how much grace and patience God has already had on us, that now this is our problem. We need a little bit more wine, or we see that as our problem, that we need a little bit more wine at a party. And it's not saying that because Jesus died on the cross, God is now willing to forgive. God's willingness to forgive has already been demonstrated. What it's saying is now God is now free, you might say, to do what he wants to do, which is to care for us and love us. And when maybe that's the wrong word to use, free. All it means is that God has always loved us and always wanted to forgive us. But if he just forgives, then where's justice in all that? His forgiveness would be, if it wasn't for what Jesus had done, his forgiveness would have to be in spite of justice. He would have to say, there is no justice. And that's the problem with forgiveness. But what he's saying is no, there is a weight of justice, and I am answering justice, but I'm going to answer that myself. I'm going to take on that weight myself, and so that I can express my heart to you. And he's saying part of the problem is he's going to take care of all that. They don't really understand that. They don't see where any of that's going. But them asking sets them on the road of starting to understand that. And it's not so much starting to just understand their need for forgiveness, but it's really about them coming to understand how much God really does love them. And seeing that he's going to give them a little bit more wine helps them understand it a little bit, but they really don't understand the extent of how much God loves, that he would send his only son, as it's going to say in a few chapters, his only son to die on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. It takes some time to see that. But the beginning of that time starts with us just simply starting to see that we can put things before Jesus and Jesus will address it. And we don't need to think through what's a serious thing, what's you know, weighty enough for that. It could be as simple as just there's someone else has a problem at their wedding with not having enough wine, and that's not to diminish that. That's not, I'm sure that's a very serious problem, and it's someone else's problem. But it could just start with that. Now, here's where it goes. Immediately, again, his mom, she's used to going, she knows what's next, because she says to the servants, his mother said to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. In other words, she has some sort of feeling or sense, maybe from past experience, that like, look, I've come, I've asked him to help with this problem, and I'm pretty sure he's going to tell you to do something. And you're just going to think that whatever, like this, you're going to wonder, like, what does this have to do? Just do it, she says. It says, now there was 6 stone water pots set there for the Jewish custom of purification, containing 20 or 30 gallons. In other words, it doesn't really matter. Everyone argues about how much wine. It doesn't really matter. At a certain point in a party, it doesn't really matter how much wine was drunk or not drunk or how much was left over. There was a lot, 20, 30 gallons. But it says there was the purpose, the reason why they were put there. In other words, in the planning for the wedding, to make this wedding good, part of the planning was to put these things there on purpose. And the reason why they wanted to use them was for the custom of purification. And custom means that this wasn't necessarily something that they read in the Bible, God asked them to do, but they kind of saw that it was an inference from something, you know, a way that we would think of practically working it out. And what it is, that word purification, it's just this sense that, look, we want to have a good time at this party. In order to have a good time at a party or a good time in life, I mean, if God exists, I mean, it would make sense that we would need to have something kind of squared out between us and God. And by the fact that you would need this purification, there's at least some sort of recognition that, like, well, there's a chance it's not really all that squared out. And so the idea is we're just sort of doing this custom of washing ourselves as sort of a symbol of saying, look, you know, there's probably some stuff that needs to be squared out and that I need to get cleaned from. And so it's just a way of expressing to God that, like, I know that there's some things that are messed up maybe, but I'd really like to be clean from all that. And there's a recognition that this needs to be a part of things. And it never really got used for that. It's interesting that Jesus takes those and then he uses that for a different purpose. And just as a little side note, it seems silly to us that you would have this ceremonious washing. But that is a very common way that we look at things. We know that there's things that are messed up in the world or messed up around us or messed up with our country or messed up with our culture. And we have all these little religious ceremonial ways to just sort of say, I'm just going to cleanse myself from, you know, I can hit the like button on my social media and it's like my ceremonious way to say, well, I'm just cleansed of all that business. We have all these that really don't amount to anything. You know, it really is meaningless that we're washing ourselves with some water to cleanse us. A lot of the stuff that we do to say, I'm not a part of, I recognize there's something bad going on, and then the way that we sort of cleanse ourselves from our connection, it really is a meaningless thing. It doesn't really address the problem. I'm not going to shop here or shop there. I mean, I'm not saying that doesn't have any kind of power in it, but I'm just saying a lot of the stuff that we do to try and say I'm not a part of the problem is kind of just the same type of ceremonious washing. It's really nothing more than us just saying I'd like to not be a part of this type thing. It's not actually doing anything to address. It's just maybe they're even just saying, I'm not sure that there is anything I can do to address, but it's still important for me to have this sort of ceremonious way of just sort of saying, but nonetheless, I just like to. So what is that when we do that? That's saying, like, I know I'm not going to be able to actually, but I'd like to be able to express something that's in my heart anyways. And so it's not that the ceremonious washing is without value. It's just the only value that it has is in its expression of our heart saying, I'm not sure that I can address this or get clean from this or whatever, but I'd like to make some sort of statement to everyone else that this is where my heart is at, that I would like to be cleansed from this. And I can't even necessarily express what this is that I need to be cleansed from. It's just, there's some stuff. So its value is only there in its expression of the heart. And it turns out that Jesus is saying, I get that, but there's a better way for that to happen. And here's, it says, here's how he begins to address that. Not on this superficial way where you can just sort of throw this out there and just say something. He addresses it in a different way. Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water. So they filled them to the brim. She said, he's going to ask you to do something. Just do it. What does filling a bunch of pots with water have to do with a shortage of wine at a wedding? Nothing. Jesus is saying, if you really want to make a statement with your heart saying, this isn't who I am or this isn't what I would like to be, so that there's this part of me, there's this desire, there's just this small part that would like to say, I know I'm mixed up with all this, there's all this going on, and I'd like to have some sort of cleansing or be, you know, set apart from this. There's this little voice that's there, and you all know what that is, and you're trying to figure out how to express that part. What he's saying is, and what the mom is saying is, you can't just say it. There needs to be some way of submitting to something or willing to make some sort of change or willing to be able to do something, but you don't know what that is. And the mom says, you're not going to just do what he says to do. And then whatever needs to happen, he's going to make it happen, but there's going to be something. This is a very common thing that comes up for us. What they're saying is, look, what he says to do is fulfill the whole Bible, be a good person. You can't do that. That's why we're facing this death to begin with. But if Jesus is going to go die on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, in other words, take that burden on ourselves, solve that problem for us, now our relationship is based now on whatever it is that Jesus says we need to do. And what Jesus has said here is just simply, go fill some pots with water. That's it. He doesn't say, go be a good person. And they're no better off. The servants are not good people now because they filled some pots with water. They just filled some pots with water. But they have deferred now to something that Jesus, one little thing that Jesus had said. How does this work out? I didn't really know how to explain it, but I'll give like five or six short, quick examples of in my life, because the truth is, at least in my life, Jesus hasn't really asked me to do all that much stuff. It's not like it's been this overwhelming thing. It's like every once in a while there's just... So I remember early on in life, I really had never felt like Jesus asked me to do anything. And I was just doing all sorts of whatever I felt like doing. And most people just thought of it as just... You know, to me, it didn't seem crazy. But to a lot of people, it seemed like just crazy stuff that you should just avoid being around that person. The first time I felt, and it's funny because I wasn't like a Jesus told me to do this type person, or I wasn't like a church type person, or like anything, nothing like that. And even though I would never have told anyone or voiced it like this, nonetheless, I knew this was something Jesus was telling me to do. He just told me to start reading the Bible. Just read what I have to say, which just sounded absurd. Just sounded absurd to me. And I sat on that for like 2 years. I was doing all sorts of stupid stuff that like I should have been in jail and all sorts of stupid stuff. I never once felt like Jesus said anything about any of that stuff. But there was this one little thing that was just bugging the heck out of me. And it was like go fill that pot up with water. And I just sat on it for 2 years till finally it was like, all right, I went and I just filled it up to the brim. I spent like, there was like a month, I spent like 6-7 hours a day, like just filled it because I just sat on it for so, and I was not a religious person, and I was not thinking that I was good, and I was not thinking that this had any, it was just, there was just like, I felt like there was this one thing, and I just wanted to, I just needed to fill it to the brim and go on and do some other stuff. That's it. It was just that one thing. And then I remember a few years after that, I had this other weird thing where I felt like, and again, it was like that same type thing where it's like, felt like you need to give to someone. And I kind of felt like it should be to like some sort of church thing, but I told him at the time, there is just no way I'm giving any ounce of money to anything that has anything to do with church. If you just want to like kill me right now, then do it. Because I'm just not. And then, but it was this friend that was going out on this like becoming like this missionary thing, which I did not like the whole idea at all anyways. But again, like it took, this only took like 2-3 days because I remembered that I had like sat on this before and I just didn't want to, and I did not care about it. I just didn't want to have to deal with it for 2 years. I went and emptied out my bank account, which granted was only like $300, something at the time, like I think $320, and gave them the money. And it was just great that I didn't have to send. It felt really good. Not giving the money or anything like that, but just not having the weight of that go fill that pot up sitting on me for, I'm just saying, it was some simple things. And I guarantee you there's like some things in your life that it's not, it's just as simple. It's just like you could just go fill the pot up. And you know, I've gone through some things where it's like you try and like, wait, well, why does this pot need to be filled? What good is this going to do having this filled? Why do I need it? It's like you can talk through all that stuff for as many years as you want to talk through, but it's the same. Just go fill the, just do what he says to do to you. And you know, one time it was, finally, after a long time, it was go to church. And I sat on that for a really long time. Just couldn't. Finally, did the same thing. It got to the point where just fill it to the brim. I just went, ever since, sat in the back, arms crossed, just like, I can't stand these people. You know, went to every single, it's like he never said that I had to like it. I just, you know, he was perfectly fine with me despising it, I think. I don't think he really cared whatsoever. He just asked me to go, and so I just went. If I wanted to sit there with my arms, that was fine. I think he still is fine with that. It's just, and I'm not saying there's something religious about going or something good about going. I was not a good person. I'm still not. And it has nothing to do with that. It just has to do with putting it in this context of, like, if there's some part of you that is starting to recognize that my problem is a little bit bigger than I just need some more wine. And if there's some part of me that would like to express, I'd like to, some sort of change, or I'd like to be a little, it's going to involve the next thing, his mother's just clear, is Jesus will just put something before you. And it's going to be something very, very simple that you, one time I've been doing all sorts of stupid stuff, and I, for like this, maybe like a little less than, maybe like 9 months, I think. I felt like, it's just saying, go make this right. And it was not like the most serious or the worst thing that I had done. It was just some, you know, well, anyways. I'm just saying, it's oftentimes just one little thing. Maybe it's like fill up 6 pots. I don't know. That seems like a lot. But Mary was saying, Just whatever he says to you, just go do it. And then what's great about it is then he gives them another command, which oftentimes happens, but it's just as easy to do. He says they filled it to the brim. And then he said to them, draw some out now and take it to the head waiter. So they took it to him. And again, it's something, you just go do that, right? I mean, there's a million reasons why you may not do that. Like, this guy's like about to find out that there's no wine and you bring him a glass of water. That's not really, in your servants, he's the head. I don't know what the deal is. But, again, it's something small. But then it says, when the head waiter tasted the water, which had become wine, did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the head waiter called the bridegroom and said to him, everyone serves the good wine first, and when the people have drunk freely, then he serves the poorer wine, but you have kept the good wine until now. In other words, they just did what he told them to do. And this is where I think we misunderstand when Jesus asks us to do something. He did not tell them to fill the jars up with water because that's what you do in this situation. that's how you solve this type of problem. So now whenever you're at a party and they're running out of wine, you just can start going and filling up jugs of water. That's not what he was doing. What he asked them to do made zero sense outside of a miracle happening, which there was no reason for them to have any expectation that that would happen. But the result was that if they had planned it out and they had had enough wine, if they had done everything right and planned out this wedding perfectly and had the best planning, best thing, it actually was better the way that Jesus worked it out. It ended up working better. In other words, like you think, I got to plan my life out. I got to do this. I got to do that. And there's a certain weight, but whatever. You just got to deal with it. And you got to get all this right and do all this. And if you want to have a wedding and have everyone be happy, you got to have the right invitation, send them out the right time, plan the right venue, do all these things. And if you've ever planned a wedding, that's a burdensome thing. But even if you got everything right, how it went down with Jesus, the head waiter, is saying, that was even better. So what he's saying is, what starts with us having a recognition of some sort of need, he's going to address it, but he's going to take us along this journey with that, not because he's trying to convert us or something like that, but just he wants us to understand our need is quite a bit bigger than what we're just putting out right now. And as we grapple with that and we start to see, there's a part of me that really would like to disassociate myself from some of the stuff that I see that isn't, that, to be cleansed from, to just be a little bit better. The path that he's leading us down is not something that you're just going to be able to wash yourself with do some sort of ceremony type thing. He's going to put something out there for you. And it's not going to make sense. It's not going to be this path to this is how you manage your money now or this is how you work things out. It's just going to be this thing that's out there that unless there was some sort of miracle associated with it, But then what's the benefit? The difference is now, because of the asking, because of just filling up the pots with water, now when this miracle happens, the head waiter hasn't been involved in this process of asking, this process of just doing these arbitrary things. And so when he looks at the situation, he interprets it as, oh, someone's being kind of bright, or someone's come up with a new idea. Someone's like, usually people do this, but someone's kind of come up with something a little bit different at this wedding, and I got to applaud them. They've kind of made some progress. They've set a new standard for weddings or something like that. That's the way he views it. But it says, but the servants who drew the water, they knew. In other words, there's a few chapters later that Jesus says to people that are following him, he says, you do my word, you follow, do what I say. In other words, you're asking for help. I got these little things that you just, you know, whatever, even if it takes you 4 or 5 years to do it, you know, you finally just do it. And then it works out. He goes, the benefit is, he says, is that you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. The head waiter, he was assuming what he thought might be a logical possibility of the truth, that these people had just sort of made some new way of doing weddings and a new way of approaching this, and it worked out really good in this case, and that's he assumed that to be, but he didn't know the truth. But the ones that went and drew the water out and put it in the thing, and this story, that was the truth. And they knew the truth. And he says, knowing that truth sets you free. Paul says it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. But what's he getting at there with freedom? If you just look at this story, I even brought up, I mean, granted, it's a silly thing. There's all sorts of pressure putting on something like a wedding. You just want people to come and be happy. But like, you could have the silliest thing. You just accidentally leave someone off an invitation. I mean, all sorts of place people in there. I've had friends that like put people in the wrong spot on the day and their families got mad and carried over, ruined the whole wedding. You just want people to be happy. I mean, it's not that you just want to have the perfect, you just want people to enjoy it. Jesus showed up and made it good. There's a burden that's there if it's true that what it is that we want requires us to not make a mistake. There's a burden that's lifted if it's true that Jesus will give us the desire, that little part, and whatever that is, based on his love for us and his care for us and the fact that he's showing up and the fact that anything that might stand in the way of that, like this call for just, he'll answer that and make it so that he's free. What he's saying to us is that we have an immense amount of freedom, but that freedom is found in the fact that God loves us and cares for us enough that he's going to intercede for us to the point of giving us a little bit more wine at a silly party. I'm not saying it's silly. I'm just putting that in there to accentuate, not to diminish our needs, but to just accentuate that even the things that if you put it into the big picture of things, it's not that big of a deal, but it is a big deal to us right now. But whether it is or isn't, he's willing to address it down to that point. And he's willing to do it because he loves us and cares for us. That coming to see, it says, like that saying, seeing is believing. That's what it says right here. The servants, they saw. And the next thing is, it says, his disciples believed in him at the end. It says, this is the beginning of his signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. And what that believed in him means is they believed in him enough, like when his mother, that when there's a problem, maybe they just go ask Jesus for some help. They believed in him enough that maybe if he just said, go fill up some jars with water, I'm just going to just go do it. They believed in him enough, and they saw that the water had become wine, that it didn't really, even at their best, they filled it up to the brim, but they were still left with jars of water, that a miracle had happened. In other words, It wasn't just they believed that he was there, he would solve different problems. It wasn't just that they believed that he would see that part of them that it wanted to do things well and was giving them something. But it's that they came to trust that he was there in their life, that he was going to take care of them, that he was going to make things good, that he was going to make things good, even to the point that they hadn't quite then come to realize that they needed a Savior that would die on the cross for the forgiveness of their sins. That's something that they would realize afterwards. But they were growing into that realization. And it began with them here in this story coming to believe in him. We're going to take some time as Nathan comes up. And if you feel in your heart that you also are believing in him, and maybe you've already started asking him for it, maybe that's your starting place. You can see there are some needs, some things, and you'd like to ask him for some help. I'll be up here, other people will be up here, and we'll pray for those things. And please forgive me for putting things in the context of the wine and things. There's some serious things, some serious needs that we have. And Jesus sees them as serious and cares about them and sees the stress that it puts on us and wants to lift that off. And maybe that's a starting point. Maybe there's been some pot that you know that needs to be filled, and like me, you've been sitting on it for quite a while, and maybe it'd be a good idea just to fill that up and see what happens, or just do it. But maybe you've also just come to a place where you've just realized, I do believe in him, and I would like to have that forgiveness of my sins, and I don't quite realize what that means, but I know enough to make that step. And if following him comes down to every once in a while he's going to ask me to fill some pots with water, I can follow him on that basis. You know, I'll do my best, even especially if he gives me a couple years to do it. You know, I can do that. That's all it means by following. If you'd like to make that step, I'm going to give you a chance to do those two things. To say to him, forgive me for my sins, cleanse me, and I'd like to be able to follow you as best I can. And if you've never made that decision and you'd like to do that now, I'll give you a chance to do that. Let's pray. Heads are bowed. If you'd like to ask Jesus to be your Savior and you'd like to follow him, raise your hand and I'll pray for you right now. Okay, let's pray. Jesus, we just thank you so much for your love for us, for coming down here, for being with us, for coming to things like our weddings, coming to this time that we have right now, for just being in our life. And Lord, we have heavy things that we put before you, and we just thank you, Lord, for hearing us, for being patient with us, and for being so gracious, Lord, in helping us to understand how big our need actually is. Lord, we thank you also for just giving us some little things to do, some ways to participate, some way for us to express that we want to be with you. And we thank you, Lord, for making them simple. But Lord, please just forgive us for our delay and help us to take joy in filling those pots to the rim. And Jesus, more than anything, we just thank you for letting us see the truth through all this, of just seeing the truth of your love, that you are here with us, you are working through these things with us, and you are bringing us to a new place of freedom. We lift all these things up to you in your name, Jesus. Amen.